Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye of the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my good colleague, Jonathan Schanzer, Executive Director of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. We go immediately to the White House. Times of Israel headline. Trump meeting with MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, the kingdom. Touts potential for normalization, does the president. The Saudi leader responds, according to the reporting in Jerusalem, must have a path to two states. In the course of this meeting, there was an opportunity for both men to go outside and watch a flight of F-35s go over the Washington Monument, either in tribute or in authority. I can't tell which, but it was quite a ceremony. However, Jonathan, a very good evening to you. Mohammed bin Salman has a checkered past. The Khashoggi incident is not forgotten. In fact, it was asked, I believe, of the president. And the quote that I see in the London papers is, the president responded, things happen. At the same time, Mohammed bin Salman is the leader of the future of Saudi Arabia and is looking for being the future leader of all of the Gulf states, perhaps all of the Arab states. I can't tell which. Is he an important piece of the solution of Gaza, or is this another matter beyond Gaza? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. There is no alternative at this moment to Mohammed bin Salman. He is the present and the future of Saudi Arabia. He has single-handedly transformed this country. I've been there, I guess, probably six or seven times over the last 10 years, and the changes that he has brought to this country are remarkable. The modernization that he's brought to this country is remarkable. At the same time, this is a deeply flawed individual. This is the man who did apparently order the killing of Jamal Khashoggi. This is the man who ordered a lot of the military operations that brought devastation to Yemen and that brought condemnations to Saudi Arabia as a result. This is a flawed individual. Many individuals are, in fact, flawed. This is what we see in leadership worldwide. I think his flaws perhaps are a little bit more obvious than others. But this is the man that the president does want to work with. He may be more forgiving than others in Washington as it relates to MBS's past. But I do think that even with all of his warts, this is a leader who can help transform the Middle East. He is a man who is now apparently officially committed to helping to fund the reconstruction of the Gaza Strip. I believe that he is at the forefront of the efforts to normalize with Israel and to bring peace to the region. He is a natural enemy of the Islamic Republic of Iran. He is naturally skeptical of the Turks and other aspiring power in the region that would bring, I think, a lot of negative consequences to the Middle East. In other words, this is a man that we should be working with. The Israelis are working with him. Our moderate, pragmatic allies are working with him. The president is right to be inviting him to the White House and to work with him. We just need to be careful, step-by-step approach to make sure that we're not moving too fast in any one direction with him because he is still imperfect and at times erratic.
The magical thinking in this formula is two-state solution. You and I have both toured the terrain enough to understand that this is not obvious, especially when you have sinister elements such as Hamas or their kindred of Cain. Is a two-state solution a ceremonial term that is used now in order to move on to something practical, or is it still a vision, and what does it look like?
Well, John, it's very interesting. If you look at the language that is being used right now, the language is a pathway to the two-state solution, a pathway to a Palestinian state. They're not demanding the declaration of a Palestinian state. What they're saying is that Israel needs to provide the scaffolding for such an endeavor. and then to allow for things to progress, maybe in that direction, maybe not. This is the position that the Saudis have long held. It's the position that the Israelis at different times in their history have also held. And certainly here in the United States, we're not wedded to this solution. But I think that in light of the war and the devastation that we have seen in the Gaza Strip, there is a sense in the United States and around the region that we need to offer some hope to the Palestinians. We need to give them a sense of what is possible if they work with the international community to try to bring Gaza under control. I will also note, though, at the same time, that the Palestinian Authority, the presumed entity that would inherit the mantle of a Palestinian state, is not ready for prime time. The Palestinian Authority is now being run by Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen, as he's known. This man is 20 years into a four-year term, irredeemably corrupt, completely unable to manage the demands of the job that he holds. No one respects him, not at home, and certainly not around the Arab world. One thing that I am watching right now is the possibility of a new government being formed in Gaza that would be more legitimate and more capable, with more support from the rest of the Muslim world, to be able to not just run Gaza, but perhaps then to extend its more capable governance model into the West Bank, perhaps overtake that of Mahmoud Abbas, who is, again, really unfit for office. And then maybe we are on a pathway to a Palestinian state. These are some of the things that people are thinking about right now, John, as the discussions heat up about the future of the region.
Staying with Mohammed bin Salman, because barring catastrophe, he's with us through perhaps the balance of the century. Mohammed bin Salman has a vision, and he believes that entering into the Abraham Accords fulfills that, or some piece of that vision. What does he see? What does he imagine the Arab world becoming?
Well, he's got a couple of things. First, he's thinking about his own country, John. And there he's beginning to think about weaning Saudi Arabia off of oil. Its entire economy has been based on hydrocarbons. And at some point, the world is going to pivot away from that. We're already seeing the surge in interest in rare earth minerals and electric batteries, electric powered cars. All of these things, I think, give Mohammed bin Salman the sense that he is like a Betamax machine in the era of Netflix streaming, if you will, that he will soon be extinct if he sticks to that hydrocarbon model. He wants to have Saudi Arabia become a hub of business. He wants it to become a hub of tourism. None of those things can happen if the Middle East remains a basket case. And so what he envisions is, number one, a pivot on the part of his own country toward the toward modernity. And that is a process that's already ongoing. We're seeing the rights of women and minorities changing on a fairly rapid basis inside Saudi Arabia. But then there comes the other part of this, which is normalization with Israel, peace across the Middle East. These wars have been incredibly costly, and they have kept the Arab world in a very backwards place. Mohammed bin Salman has had enough of that. He wants to be a more Western-oriented country. He wants his country to become something bigger than it is. And so this is one of the reasons why he's here in Washington right now. And it's one of the reasons that he has been an effective leader, despite the fact that he has made so many mistakes, very costly ones. He is still at the helm, and he is still driving his country in the right direction.
Does he have the authority to pick up a phone, I'm using the metaphor, and tell Hamas to leave?
He has the authority to do so because he is the de facto leader of the country that controls the two holiest mosques in Islam, in Mecca and Medina. The Saudis are effectively the Vatican for the Muslim world. They hold an immense amount of influence. Now, whether the Hamas terrorist organization, whether they're willing to listen to the Saudis is another story. They, of course, answer to different patrons. And I'm speaking here about Iran and Qatar and the Turks and perhaps to some extent the Malaysians or maybe even the South Africans. These are the countries that support them. The Saudis are on the pragmatic side of the Muslim world divide. So the Hamas guys may not listen to the Saudis, but they can't ignore what the Saudis say. And so this is why Mohammed bin Salman being in Washington here today, talking about normalization, talking about closer partnership with the United States, all of these things, I think, portend good things in the region, short term, medium term, and long term.
Mentioning the Trump plan for the rebuilding of Gaza, acceded to by the UN, to what end? Does it begin now, or is this another aspiration when and if we solve Hamas?
Well, first of all, this UN Security Council resolution that passed last night was a landmark. This was a win for Donald Trump. His 20-point plan is now part of history. It has been embraced by the international community. The Chinese did not oppose it, nor did the Russians. They could have, but had they done so, they would have effectively inherited the mess of this war, and neither of those countries wanted to do so. So now the question is, can we get back those three remaining slain hostages that are still held by Hamas? After that, can we begin to implement a process through which Hamas is disarmed? That is the tough part, in my view, John, because Hamas does not want to disarm itself. If we're able to do that, then we can start to think about an international force that hopefully, monitors and even enforces a disarmed Hamas and a more placid Gaza. These are not easy things to do. We've got a lot of work to do after those three hostages come home. But I will say, Donald Trump, he's fighting the odds here, but he has been fighting the odds since he got those first 20 live hostages out on October 13th. No one thought that would happen. No one thought there would only be three hostages left. We're still marching ahead. This is progress. And I think that what happened last night at the UN is even more progress. Donald Trump has defied the odds. The Middle East is better off for it.
So Mohammed bin Salman, Abraham Accords, the key is Hamas. UN, rebuilding Gaza, the key is Hamas. Jerusalem, do we trust? The key is Hamas. This all comes down to Hamas. If they move, then everything moves. Is it that simple, Jonathan?
In essence, yes. That's for the immediate term, John. If Hamas ultimately agrees to disarm and to surrender, that means that we can start to move forward in Gaza. I believe that that probably unlocks the door to more normalization agreements and to a more quiet Middle East. The X factors, John, are twofold right now, in my view. One is Iran. They are trying to rebuild their missiles. They are looking to rearm their proxies. They're weaker. They do not have the same capabilities that they had before. And domestically, they're under a lot of strain because of poor resource management and because they lost the war against Israel back in June. The regime is reeling. But even if they collapse, we now have a resurgent regional power. And here I'm speaking about the Turks. The Turks have their eye on the Middle East as well. They see Iran's loss as their gain. And so even if Hamas ultimately surrenders, we still need to deal with these two regional powers. That may not be an immediate challenge for Israel, but medium and long term, absolutely a challenge.
Speaking to Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies about the moving parts in and around Gaza, we turn now to a contest between major powers in a place called Syria. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.